Today, we're once again continuing our series titled, What is Foursquare? Right? We are a Foursquare church, Dallas Foursquare church, and the question I get asked frequently is, what is a Foursquare church? What does that mean to be Foursquare? And it's that question that we hope to answer in the midst of this series. And again, as we talk about who we are as a church, and about our denomination that is known as Foursquare, I want to remind all of us that in no way do we believe that the Foursquare denomination is better than any other denomination or any other church. From the very beginning, the heart and desire of Foursquare has been to be an interdenominational church, a church that partners with other denominations and other churches to see the Great Commission accomplished in our world, right? We're all on the same journey of seeing the Great Commission accomplished. Now, with that said, like any denomination, we have certain distinctives and doctrine that make up who we are as a denomination, and that's what this series is about. And so if you've missed any part of this series so far, I encourage you to go back to watch it or listen to it online, especially if you call Dallas Foursquare Church your home church, because I believe it's important for us to understand what we believe. If you're a part of this church, that you understand what it is we believe as a church. And so we are a Foursquare church. And when you walk up the stairs out there, you will see four squares on the wall, along with our denominational scripture. And those four squares represent what we believe to be the fourfold gospel of Jesus Christ. And this comes from a prophecy found in the book of Ezekiel. And it's from that prophecy and from this fourfold gospel account of Jesus that we get our four squares, kind of the four pillars of what we believe as a denomination. And so those four squares, they represent the fact that Jesus Christ is our Savior. Jesus Christ is our baptizer of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ is our healer, and Jesus Christ is our soon and coming King. Now, we kicked off this series 3 weeks ago, and we started by talking about all of these things, all of these truths. But I mentioned that first week that there were a few of these distinctives that we were going to dive into a little deeper. And so in our second week, we did a deep dive into the fact that Jesus Christ is our baptizer of the Holy Spirit. And if you've been here, you know, as we dove into that reality, I realized we couldn't cover all that I felt the Lord was wanting me to cover in just that 1 week. As a matter of fact, today will be our third and final week as we talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And again, let me just say, if you missed either of these weeks talking of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I encourage you to go back and to watch or to listen to these messages, because the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's a huge part of who we are and what we believe as a Foursquare church. And so it's important that you know those things. And even though I'm going to give us a little review of the last few weeks, there's a lot that I won't be able to share. So again, the first real account in the scriptures of this idea of being baptized in the Holy Spirit comes from John the Baptist. Matthew 3:11, I've shared it each week, says, "I baptize you with water for repentance. But after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry." He's talking about Jesus, obviously, right? "He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." And this scripture points to the fact that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is different than water baptism. Water baptism is a baptism of repentance. It's this outward expression of an inward change that has happened to our lives. It's us publicly declaring that we have given our life to Jesus. We do it up here in a little pool where we baptize them in water. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit's different. It's an outpouring of the Holy Spirit that comes upon us in and through our lives. It's God stirring up His Spirit in us, which enables us to operate in the same power that Jesus operated in while he was here on this earth. And as we've talked about the last few weeks, before he ascended to go to be with the Father back up into heaven, he told his disciples to go and to wait for the gift that God had for them, right? Because through this gift, they would receive power to go and to be his witnesses to the world. And so the disciples, they obeyed. They went and they waited in Jerusalem. And we read in Acts 2 that the Holy Spirit fell upon the believers that were gathered there in the upper room. And it was in that moment that everything changed for the life of anyone who believes. Because no longer was God this distant God that only spoke through prophets, kings, and priests. In this moment, the Spirit of God came and began to move and dwell in the hearts of whoever believed on Jesus. And like Paul talks about in Colossians 1, in that moment, we became the hope of glory to those around us. Because of this gift, because of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we have the ability now to move in the same power that Jesus moved in when he walked this earth. And in the last few weeks, I've tried to help us understand the different distinctives we experience through the Holy Spirit. Because there's different language you hear about the Holy Spirit, and I wanted us to understand. First, there's what we refer to as the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And then there's what we've been talking about, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is the change that happens in our lives when we choose to accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. When we say yes to Jesus, his Spirit comes and dwells inside of us. That's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It's what Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 3:16 when he says, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple? And that God's Spirit dwells in your midst." God's Spirit dwells in us. If we've said yes to Jesus, when we give our life to him, when we say yes, his Spirit comes and lives in us. And if you've been with us the last few weeks, you know that I've illustrated this truth with my beautiful gift here, right? Now, some people have accused me that I've made this series go so long because I keep wanting to show off my rapping skills, right? You guys knew I could rap, you know, that way, but you didn't know that I could rap this way, right? Beautiful, right? Being raised with three sisters helps you learn these things. But that's not why. It's because it's a beautiful illustration. And this gift, it's an illustration of us receiving the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It's receiving this amazing blessing. It's us taking ownership of our relationship with Jesus. I've given my life to Jesus, and now he has given me the Holy Spirit to go with me wherever we go, so that wherever I move, he goes with me, right? But here's the thing. What good is a gift if we just carry it and don't actually open it up? And so receiving the gift and having it with us is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But opening up the gift and using what God has given us, what's in the gift, that is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the problem is there are so many of us who choose to follow Jesus. All right, I receive the Holy Spirit. But we just carry it around. We put it in our backpack, right? Or we, you know, set it on the shelf next to us. And we don't actually open it. And one of the reasons, and one of the things I've mentioned the last few weeks, is that a lot of times the reason we carry it and we don't open it is because we're afraid what we might find inside there. We're afraid. What are these gifts that God wants to give us? What is he calling me to do? What is he going to ask of me? I don't know that I want to know. I just like being a Christian. I just like holding it and being able to say, I'm a Christian. I'm good. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. Right? We've talked about this earlier. We weren't just saved from. We were saved for. And when we open up, we see the things that God wants to do in and through us. And we're afraid of that. We're afraid of what we might see. And I think a lot of the reason that we can be afraid is because we've actually had pastors, people, churches that have abused the amazing gifts that are inside of there. And so when we see them used in the wrong ways, we're like, whoa, whoa, that's what those are. I don't want anything to do with those. And so we run the other direction. But the purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Jesus told us, you will receive power. Why? So that you can be my witnesses. You will receive these gifts so that you can do the things I've called you to do. And it should never be weird or freaky. It should never be something that scares people away from Jesus. Yeah, it might be different, like, whoa, that was different. But here's what I've noticed. When it's of the Lord, even though it's something new, people go, whoa, that was different. But it felt right. And when it's freaky, people are like, whoa, that was weird. And I don't want anything to do with it. It scares me to death because that just does not seem right. And they run the other direction. And that's not God's desire for our life. And so this morning, I want to once again take some time to unpack what's in the box. What are these gifts that God has for us? I want to open it up and look at the fact that these are amazing gifts that God has given to bless us and to enrich our lives for Him. And as we open it up and as we talk, my hope is that we can better understand what these gifts are. So that we can realize they're not scary. They're actually beautiful gifts from the God, from the Lord. Beautiful gifts that we shouldn't be contained in a box, that we need to be using for His glory. And so Paul talks about these gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 8 through 11. And so I want to read that scripture first before we begin to open up the gift and talk about what's in the box. 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 11, it says this. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith in the same Spirit or by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. And so in this section of Scripture, Paul describes some of the gifts that we can receive through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Some of the gifts that God has for us to open as we open up His gift. Now, we read this scripture last week, and we actually looked at the first five gifts. We titled them as four. We put two of them together. But the first five gifts we looked at last week. And so I want to start by just kind of giving us a little refresher on the first five. And so as we open up this box and we look at the gifts that God has for us, the first one is what we often refer to as words of wisdom. Words of wisdom, this wonderful gift that God wants to give to some of us. And these words of wisdom are words that God puts on our heart for someone that might need some guidance or some wisdom. People ask us, they're going through some difficulties, and the Lord will give us just these words to say to them, words that might help them with something that they're wondering about or struggling with. And like I mentioned last week, I think that this is one of those gifts that many of us actually operate in, and we don't realize it. When someone shares something that they're going through or dealing with, and out of nowhere, we share these words that are profound and meaningful, so much so that afterwards we're like, whoa, where did that come from? It was pretty good, wasn't it, right? And we try to pat ourselves on the back thinking we're good, but the reality is, more often than not, that's the gift, the power of the Holy Spirit giving us the right words to speak in that moment, giving us words of wisdom. Jesus talks about this a couple different times with his disciples when he tells them that the Holy Spirit will give you the words to say. And that's what words of wisdom are, the Holy Spirit giving us the words to say in specific moments to help people, to encourage people. The next gift that Paul talks about is what we often refer to then. It sounds the same, but it's words of knowledge. That this is a wonderful gift that God wants to give to some of us. And this is where the Holy Spirit gives us a supernatural knowledge of things that we wouldn't know on our own. Maybe someone's going through something, but we don't know that. And the Holy Spirit gives us these words to speak to them that we only know because the Holy Spirit told us to say these things to him, to them. And it's in that moment that they're impacted. And oftentimes it's in those moments where they're like, how did you know that? How could anyone? I haven't shared that with anybody. And it's because it's a word of knowledge that God has given to us to share with that person to help them in that time. That's what these gifts are for. Both of these gifts, words of wisdom and words of knowledge, are meant to encourage and lift people up. So if we have thoughts that come into our mind that aren't encouraging, that put people down, I can tell you that is not from the Lord. That is not from him, because God gives us words that encourage. And so if God is putting something on your heart for someone that's encouraging and that's uplifting, then I encourage you to be bold and to share those things with them, because there's a good chance it's the Holy Spirit giving you words of wisdom, words of knowledge to help you or to help them in that moment in time. The next gift we talked about is what I refer to as an increased faith. It's a supernatural kind of faith that we might not normally have. And I think this is probably one of the most common gifts we see people when they experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's one of the most common gifts we see that they receive. It's this boldness that enables them to step out and do things that they wouldn't normally do. It's that boldness that we saw from Peter at Pentecost, right? This man who had denied Jesus. Just a little while later at Pentecost, he stands up when the Spirit falls on him and he preaches the gospel with boldness. It's the kind of faith that allows us to pray with power and authority to see miracles take place in people's lives. And I believe all of us should be praying for this kind of faith. I believe all of us should ask the Lord to increase our faith so that we can use these gifts in the way that he desires us to. And then the final two gifts we talked about, we grouped them together, which is the gift. Oh, and I forgot to bring out increased faith. There's increased faith. Yeah, remember, open the gift. Pull it out. Don't keep it in the box. And then the fourth one, healing and miracles. We grouped them together, the gift of healing, the gift of miracles. We saw this gift in Peter and Paul and many of the disciples, where God did healing and miracles in and through them as they laid hands on people, as they prayed for people. We saw that all throughout the book of Acts. We see healing and miracles where lame people are able to walk, blind people are able to see, people were raised from the dead. And as I shared last week, I believe God still empowers people with this gift today. I've seen it. Many of us in this room have seen it. And we're going to talk more about this next week as we look at the fact that Jesus Christ is our healer, one of our four squares of our four square gospel. But we're going to talk about that next week. But we have to realize that this is an amazing gift that God gives to many of his people. And I believe we need to be praying and believing for God to do healing, to do miracles. We need to be seeking that. Now, I want to look at the next four gifts that Paul talks about in the scripture that we read earlier and help us understand what they are. Those that we just shared were the ones we talked about last week, a quick refresher. And so now we're going to look at the next four gifts. And the next one that we see there in the scripture is found in verse 10, and it's the gift of prophecy. It's this gift of prophecy. And this is where the Holy Spirit gives us a glimpse or maybe a word or a picture of something that has not yet happened. It's prophetic. It's this prophecy of something that will take place or that could take place. Jesus talked about this to his disciples in John 16:13 when he says, But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. This is prophecy. And so prophecy is when God speaks something to us that hasn't taken place yet. Maybe it's to warn us. Maybe it's to encourage us. It could be something that God is wanting to do in us for a specific purpose or in a specific way. Or that God wants us to tell someone else because God wants them to hear this, to help them move forward. This gift of prophecy, it will encourage us or someone else, whoever it's for, to keep moving forward or to push through difficulties, right? When God's given us prophecy, we're like, well, I haven't seen that yet. And it encourages us to keep moving forward to see those things that God spoke to us. I know from my own experience that prophetic words that were spoke to me at a young age is what has kept me on this track of following Jesus, of becoming a pastor and serving him, because things that were spoken into my life of who I would be and what I would do, and it encouraged me. And this gift might be something that God gives someone to share to someone else, or it may be a prophecy that God speaks directly to us about our future. 10 years ago, I was a cabin leader for a group of kids that we took from this church to go to camp. My son Toby was one of those kids. And after one of the chapel services, Toby came to me and said, "Dad, I need to talk to you about something." He was really excited. And so we went off to the side. Everyone else was having their snacks. I said, "What is it, buddy? What do you need to tell me?" He said, "Dad, you know, when we were in there praying for the missionaries, and we were praying for some missionaries, we actually took an offering for some missionaries." And he said, "You know, when the pastor up front was praying for the missionaries, he said, it was weird, Dad. It was kind of like I was in my body, but it was kind of like I wasn't. And it was like I kind of heard a voice, but I know it wasn't audible. But I just felt like the Lord spoke some words to me." I said, "Well, what did he say, buddy?" And he said, "I felt like God said, I'm calling you to missions." This is a 11-year-old little boy. And he heard this prophetic word: "I'm calling you to missions." And you can probably imagine when he shared those, I got emotional. I was so excited for him. Then I told him, you know, as a little 11-year-old, I said, "You know, that I'm calling you to missions, that could mean anything, right?" So I encouraged him, just remember these words. As you go throughout your life, don't forget these words that God spoke to you. And as you live your life, keep your heart and your ears open to how God is going to lead you to this call of missions. And those of you that don't know, Toby is now a junior at the University of Oregon. And he's going to school to be an elementary school teacher. And if that's not missions, I don't know what is. His desire is to teach in public schools and to love kids and to share the gospel. Now, he believes that someday later he might actually go overseas and do missions, but he knows that right now I'm doing missions. I'm doing this prophetic word that God has called me to do. And I tell you this story because that prophetic word that God gave him 10 years ago helped guide him and direct him on the path that he is today. Prophecy is a powerful gift that can encourage us and help us on this journey of seeking to follow God's will and desire for our lives. And the next gift we see Paul talk about is what he refers to as distinguishing between spirits, which is often referred to as the gift of discernment. To have this gift of discernment. And this is when God enables us to interpret what is true and what is false. What is of God and what is of the world. Now, if you're a parent, right, or have ever worked with kids or even led adults, you've probably tried to use discernment at some point along the way, right? When kids are arguing or your people you're leading are arguing and they both have different stories that don't align, right? As a parent or as a leader, we do our best to try to discern what is truth and what isn't truth, right? That's what discernment is. And so this gift of spiritual discernment, it enables us to know what is truth and what isn't truth when it comes to spiritual things in our life. And I believe this is a gift that we could all use in this world that we find ourselves in right now, right? Because we're in a world that's riddled with misinformation. We're in a world that's riddled with lies. And it's hard to know who can we trust. Because honestly, it feels like everybody is lying out there, right? No one's telling the truth, which is why we need spiritual discernment to be able to know what is of the Lord and what is of the world. It's an amazing gift that can help us discern His truth and make right decisions when it comes to living our life for the Lord. And so we all should be seeking His discernment. And then the final gifts that Paul talks about here at the end of verse 10 are probably the most controversial gifts. And I say that because they're the ones that seem to scare people the most. And they're the ones that are often abused the most. But the truth is that they shouldn't scare us. These gifts that I'm talking about, they deal with what the scriptures refer to as tongues. And I know when you hear that word, a lot of times we're like, oh, I'm out of here, right? But it shouldn't be that way because it's a beautiful gift. They're both beautiful gifts that God gives to us. And so one of the things we have to understand is that there are actually two different types of tongues. And this is where we get ourselves in trouble at church. There's two different types of tongues. And so the first one that we want to talk about this morning that he talks about is what we often refer to as spiritual language. Spiritual language. And I think when we hear it described in this way, it's actually self-explanatory, right? It's a supernatural language that the Holy Spirit gives us for us to pray and to seek the Lord. And this is the tongues that Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians is actually for us. It's for self-edification. It's to help us grow in the Lord. And the problem is when we don't use this for us and we try to do this in settings where it kind of freaks people out. And so we have to understand what these gifts are and how they're used. Because as Paul said, this should be something that helps edify us and strengthen our connection and relationship with the Lord. This gift, I believe, is really about the Holy Spirit speaking through us learning how to pray in a spiritual language where we're not speaking our words, but we're speaking the words of the Lord for God's will to be done in that circumstance or that situation. I have the gift of tongues. I have a spiritual language. Many in this room have the gift of spiritual language. And for me, I use my spiritual language when I'm praying at times by myself, when I'm by myself and I'm praying and I don't know how to pray, right? There's something going on and you're just like, oh Lord, I don't have the words. That's when I begin to pray in my spiritual language because now I'm not praying, but the Holy Spirit is praying through me. And guess what? The Holy Spirit knows how to pray. When I don't know how to pray, the Spirit knows how to pray. And so I pray in my spiritual language, allowing the Spirit to speak through me. And here's the thing. I heard this shared at one camp one time by Jerry Cook, an amazing man. The whole Christ in You, the Hope of Glory, that message comes from Jerry Cook and that I've spoken before. And he talked about it. He said, this is the one time, one of the times where we can truly be like Jesus. And what he means by that is Jesus said, I only speak what the Father tells me to speak. And when we're speaking in our spiritual language, we don't know what we're saying. We're speaking in a language that is of the Spirit. And we are speaking what the Father is telling us through the Holy Spirit to speak. And it's an amazing gift that empowers us in prayer. And it doesn't have to be the scary things. When we're at a loss for words, we often can use this spiritual language to pray. And the thing I realized about the gift of tongues, about this spiritual language, is it often requires great faith, right? And that's because we have to trust that it is the Holy Spirit speaking through us, that it actually is a spiritual language, that we're not just making up words, right? Untie my bow tie, who stole my Honda. right? People will say, oh, just say those words, untie my bow tie. It will sound like you're speaking in tongues. I mean, we've heard that in churches and camps trying to get people to speak in a spiritual language. It's ridiculous, right? And so the hard part is like, it starts flowing out of us and we're like, is that real? And we have to have faith that God is actually giving us these words to speak, that we're not just making these things up. And when I first received my spiritual language, I was a pretty young kid. And I struggled at times. Do I really have a spiritual language, or am I just making up baby talk kind of thing? I struggled with it. But when I was in middle school, my dad told me how he used to doubt his spiritual language. Until one time in church years ago, and I've shared this story for some people, but it was a Sunday night service. And often in Sunday night services, it's mostly Christians, and it's kind of a more personal service, and the worship's a little different, and sometimes you'll do things that are different than you would do on a Sunday morning. And so they were doing some prayer requests, and they were praying, and as they had a specific big prayer request. And so the pastor just said, hey, if you have your spiritual language, I just want you to pray in your spiritual language right now. Just seek the Lord to move on behalf of this situation. And so my dad began to pray in his spiritual language. And after the service, a Native American man came up to my dad afterwards, and he said, you know, when the pastor asked us to pray in our spiritual language tonight, did you know what you were praying? And my dad was like, no, I was just praying in my spiritual language. And this Native American man looked at my dad, and he said, you were speaking my native tongue. I understand the words. I understood the words that you were speaking. My dad never doubted again his spiritual language. And honestly, after my dad told me that story, I never doubted again. I just, in faith, continued to give it to the Lord. When I felt led to pray in that way, I just trust that it's Him. And I believe the gift of tongues as a spiritual language is real. And it can be a powerful gift that God gives us to help us grow in the Lord. And this spiritual language, it's meant to be between us and the Lord, or at least in a spiritual setting where people around understand and know what's going on. Because when we allow ourselves to use this gift in the wrong setting, in a way that doesn't line up scripturally, that's when people get freaked out. That's when people run in the opposite direction. But it's an amazing gift that doesn't have to be scary if we just seek the Lord and allow Him to bring it into our lives and we trust in Him. And then the final gift that Paul talks about in verse 10 is the gift of tongues and interpretations. And this is a different type of spiritual language. This is where someone, whether in a church setting or some sort of group setting, it has to be in some sort of group setting because it's not an individual thing. And again, it's this supernatural language that the Holy Spirit speaks through someone. But here's the thing. With this type of tongue, it's done publicly. And here's the caveat. Someone has to share an interpretation. If someone gives a tongue, there must be an interpretation. And this is one of those things this is where I had respect for the pastor I served in Newburgh. Someone one time was kind of one of those that maybe you would get scared of, because sometimes they operate in the power of the Holy Spirit, but you question whether it really was the power of the Holy Spirit. And one time this person, I got a tongue, I have a tongue, I need to share. And the pastor said, okay, just a sec. Is there an interpretation? Does someone feel like God is stirring in them an interpretation? Crickets. Nothing. And the pastor said, I'm sorry. The Bible says we need an interpretation to go with the tongue, and so I'm not going to have you share that tongue today. And so it's one of those things that it has to be done in a proper way. And this is one of those things we've seen people do it in a way that isn't proper. They begin to speak it out. And a lot of times what happens when that happens, it's like sometimes you get pastors that aren't bold. And so then they're like, they're going to, oh, yeah, here's an interpretation. And they'll just speak some scripture or something. But it really wasn't of the Lord. And the reason people get freaked out, because I said, if it is of the Lord, people go, but that felt right. But when it's not of the Lord, people go, that didn't feel right. And we've seen that a lot. And this is how we mess up these spiritual gifts that are amazing gifts that God's given us, but we don't use them in the way that God intended us to. And so we push people away. And then people, what? Pentecostal church? I don't want to have anything to do with the Pentecostal church. We want to make sure that we are seeking the Lord and that the things that we're doing are in the right and proper way. Because we serve a God who may bring weird or different things that we're not used to, but He's a God of order, and when He does it, it's right, and we want to seek Him. Now, I know this is a lot of information packed into kind of a short period of time, but these are all gifts that the Lord gives us to use through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And something that's important for us to understand is that God gives different gifts to different people. It's not like, oh, look, I have all of them. Check it out. I'm amazing. I have all. Nobody has all these gifts, right? These gifts God decides to give to us at different times. And sometimes, just because in one moment God gave you the gift of prophecy doesn't mean all of a sudden, well, I'm a prophet. And this is where we get ourselves in trouble. Oh, look, I'm a prophet. And now everything I speak is prophecy when God spoke to you one time. And now all the garbage that you're spilling is not God. And people are hurt by it. And people are offended by it. And people are thrown off by it. And now we understand why people don't like Pentecostalism. And so we have to be trusting the Lord and know that God may give us words of wisdom in this moment. He may give it to us again, but then you might not see it for a while. God gives different gifts to different people, and sometimes it's in that specific moment, in that specific time for what we need. And we have to be seeking the Lord and making sure it's Him. Making sure that this is the Lord and what the Lord wants to do in that moment and that time. And so we don't get to pick and choose. God, I want this gift and I want that gift. No, God says, no, you be obedient and you use the gifts that I want to give you. Because if you use the gifts that I want to give you, you're going to have a greater impact on this world. You're going to be used in the way that I have called you to be used. Now, one last thing as we wrap up this morning. Some of us listening to this message might be thinking, well, I prayed for the baptism of the Holy Spirit back at camp. I prayed for the baptism of the Holy Spirit years ago. And that's awesome, right? But here's the thing. I believe the baptism of the Holy Spirit, this outpouring of the Holy Spirit, is something that we have to continually seek and contend for. It's not a one and done kind of deal. And I think there's actually proof of this in the scriptures. If you're familiar with the book of Acts, after they received the power of the Holy Spirit in Acts 2, they were emboldened, right? They had this power to go out, and they went out to share the gospel. The church began to grow. Miracles began to happen. But after all these miracles start happening, we see in Acts 3 that they begin to face persecution. And after Peter and John are thrown in jail for healing a man, right? Fear and doubt begins to creep back into their lives. But I want you to see what happens now in Acts 4. In Acts 2, the Spirit fell upon them, right? And now it's Acts 4, verses 23 through 24. It says this, on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them, which basically said, you can't preach the gospel. You can't go out and do these things. When they heard this, they raised their voice together in prayer to God. But now let's jump to verse 31. And so they're praying, right? And it says, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all, catch that, all, everybody there, all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Now here's the thing. These were some of the same people who were in the upper room in Acts 2, right? But it says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Not just, well, those that hadn't yet received the baptism of the Holy Spirit were filled. It doesn't say that. It says they were all filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is why I believe it's something that we have to continually seek. I actually think it's a daily thing. That every day we have to say, Lord, fill me. Lord, help me to use these gifts. Because what happens is we wake up in the morning and we're tired. And we don't feel like doing anything. And so we put the lid on the box, right? I'm good, God. I don't need this today. Right? It's like Kirk was talking earlier. You're tired. You don't really want to be here. Every day we have to say, no, Lord, I may not be up to it, but I want the gifts you have for me, and I want to operate in the power of the Holy Spirit, and I want to be as effective today as you want me to be. It's a daily thing that we keep seeking the Lord. And we don't know how or when He's going to move, but if we keep seeking Him and keep coming before Him, He's going to stir His Spirit in us for what we need in whatever moment and time we need it. Amen? We can't keep the Holy Spirit in the box. We've been given the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We've been given the Holy Spirit, but we have to open up the box. We have to see the gifts and use them for His glory. Otherwise, it's just like Christmas time. It's like coming downstairs, seeing all the packages and all the gifts sitting there under the tree, waiting to be opened, waiting to be experienced. But instead of opening them, we just keep staring at them, saying, oh, look, those are cool. Look at all the gifts. They're wrapped so nicely. And we don't do anything with them. We miss out on the joy and the blessing that God wants to bring into our lives and to the lives of others because we don't open up the gift. And so my question this morning as we finish up, when, if ever, was the last time that we sought to open the gifts, that we asked God to pour out His Spirit upon us? The baptism of the Holy Spirit wasn't just for the disciples in the Old Testament. It's for anyone who believes. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We see it. It's our denominational scripture out there. When you walk up into the sanctuary, this is what we believe as a Foursquare church. The power of God does not expire. And so we have to continue to seek the Lord, continue to seek for Him to pour out His Spirit upon us today in the way that He did upon the disciples back then. This outpouring of the Holy Spirit, it's not a weird and freaky thing. It's a powerful thing that God wants to do in and through us. The power of the Holy Spirit is given to us so that we can be empowered to do the work that God has called us to do. Are we experiencing these gifts? It's not a difficult thing. It's just us saying, Lord, pour out Your Spirit upon me. Help me to receive the gifts that You have for me so that I can be empowered to do the work that You've called me to do. If that's your desire this morning, just pray with me as I'm going to pray that for myself and pray that for anyone that wants it. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for this morning. We thank You for Your hand upon our life. We thank You as we've walked through this series of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. My hope and prayer is that people realize it's not a crazy, freaky thing that we should run from. It's an amazing gift that You have given us to help us live the lives that You've called us to live. The Holy Spirit empowers us to do Your works, Lord Jesus. And so, Lord, I pray for anyone here that is seeking, Lord, just this baptism of the Holy Spirit, that You would pour out Your Spirit upon us. That every day we would be seeking the power of Your Spirit to go and to live the lives that You've called us to live. Yeah, Lord, we can receive the gift and we can just walk around with it in our hands. And yes, we will experience heaven. We will experience eternity with You. But the reality is You gave us these gifts so that we could experience heaven here on earth. That we could be lights that shine bright for You so that we can make a difference. That we can experience Your glory and Your goodness in this place. And so, Lord, help us to receive the baptism of Your Spirit. To live the lives that You've called us to live. Help us to use the gifts that You've given us. Give us that boldness to step out beyond ourselves, to know that in and through ourselves we're nothing, but through the power of the Holy Spirit we can do all things. We can be the hope of glory to those around us. And so, Lord, we thank You for what You've been teaching us, and I just pray that You continue to help us grow in the power of Your Spirit, to help us grow in the gifts of the Spirit, to just keep seeking, to being attentive to what You want to do in and through us. The disciples, Lord, were nobodies. But the power of Your Spirit made them somebody. The power of Your Spirit enabled them to make a difference, Lord, not just in that moment in time, but for all eternity. Help us to do the same, Lord. Help us to be faithful, to do what You've called us to do, to walk in the power of Your Spirit, Lord Jesus. We thank You for these things. We give these things to You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.